The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the priestly division of Abijah. His wife was from among the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both were righteous in the eyes of God, observing all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blamelessly. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Once, when he was serving as priest in his division's turn before God, according to the practice of the priestly service, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord to burn incense. Then, when the whole assembly of the people was praying outside at the hour of the incense offering, the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled by what he saw, and fear came upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of fathers toward children, and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous, to prepare a people fit for the Lord." Then Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." And the angel said to him in reply, "I am Gabriel, who stand before God. I was sent to speak to you and to announce to you this good news. But now you will be speechless and unable to talk until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and were amazed that he stayed so long in the sanctuary. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He was gesturing to them, but remained mute. Then, when his days of ministry were completed, he went home. After this time, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she went into seclusion for 5 months, saying, "So has the Lord done for me at a time when he has seen fit, to take away my disgrace before others." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. And here's the famous story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and when this story is told, what it's almost always told is a story of the lack of faith of poor pig-headed Zechariah, right? What a chowder-headed dolt he was. But let's talk about it in a different way today, okay? There's so many different ways you can take this story, and here's one that I think is it's underappreciated and under-preached, and that is that God's ways are always life-giving and fruitful. And in the machinations of God, no matter how things appear, there is never despair or hopelessness or a dead end. So here's the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. And if you're Luke writing this gospel, you're taking special care to let the reader know just how prominent this couple is. He's not just Zechariah. He's of the priestly division of Abijah, one of the most prominent of the 24 priestly divisions in all of Israel. And she's not just Elizabeth. She's Elizabeth from among the daughters of Aaron, a descendancy of no small prestige. It would be as though someone told a story of how once upon a time there lived a man named Zechariah of the house of Rockefeller, who was married to a woman named Elizabeth, a descendant of Theodore Roosevelt. And you hear it and you say, oh boy, I'm going to sit up straight. These people are important. He says all that as a wind-up. As a wind-up, because the pitch that's coming is that Elizabeth is unable to have a child. And as you know, the fruitful womb was one of the greatest blessings in all of Israel. And the inability to have a child was seen as just the opposite. And so as a consequence, here's poor Zechariah and all of his prominence and his wife's prominence, it's as though it's nothing at all. And the greatest day of his life appears. The day when he offers incense in the temple. You could be a priest in Israel and wait your entire life for one opportunity to offer incense. It was the greatest day of his life. And this is the day in which God answers a prayer he'd been making for years and which he'd given up hope of ever being heard. It would have been the greatest announcement that he possibly could have heard. We're not going to talk about his lack of faith today. Let's talk about God's faithfulness instead. Zechariah knew the scriptures. He would have known that God had done things like this before. Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, Hannah, and the mother of Samson, they were all thought to be without child, right? Barren and cursed by God. And all of them lamented their terrible misfortune. Zechariah must have known what God had done through all of them. Because from them had come Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Samson, Samuel, people of prominence so great it was beyond their wildest expectations that God could ever deliver to them so great a gift as that. And that's precisely what the Lord does. He always is fruitful. He always is life-giving, and there's no such thing as despair or hopelessness, not in the way God works. Then you take the life of John the Baptist. Here's John the Baptist, strange character. He's out there in the desert baptizing people. Why the heck is a child of such prominent parents out? Why isn't he in the temple? Why isn't he? You know, if he was in the temple, it would save people a long trip. It's a long trip out to the desert by the River Jordan from the city of Jerusalem. Long trip. And there's plenty of water there, right there in the temple. And there's even a little font to carry out the little baptismal ceremony. But he's out in the desert. Why? Because the desert by the River Jordan was the place where God's promise began. That's where the people entered the promised land. John's bringing the people out into the desert, and part of his message is God's about to make a brand new start. They'd lost hope in the corruption of the temple. They'd lost hope in the corruption of the government. They'd lost hope in the occupation of the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans and the Caesars and the descendants of Alexander the Great, and they'd lost hope. And part of the message of John the Baptist is that God is one in whom you can always trust. In him, there's no such thing as hopelessness. St. Augustine says, you know what happens when you pray and God doesn't answer your prayer? He says, half the time what the Lord's doing is expanding your desires, like stretching a bag. It's like your desires are too small compared to the greatness of what God wants to give you. You're asking for crutches. God wants to teach you how to run. That's the message. That's the message that's also contained in the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth. So don't lose faith like Zechariah, okay? But remember this, nobody ever trusted in God and walked away disappointed. He's doing more than you think, and he's closer than you can imagine. Amen.